producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Boy, we're getting closer and closer to fireworks. 4th of July, the best. I'm sure a lot of people are already headed to perhaps relatives or friends' houses. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight, wishing you and yours a very, very happy 4th of July. This show is so exciting because the guests that we're having on include Diane Carey. And Diane Carey has written a book called Banners. She's a New York Times best-selling author. She's published like 50-some books. But this book, she is so passionate about, I mean, off the charts passionate about what kids do not know as far as the Revolutionary War is concerned and the beginnings of this country. Like, for example, who really put the American flag together? We always talk about Betsy Ross, and, I mean, hey, I'm from Philadelphia, so Betsy Ross's house, I walked by it, I can't tell you how many times, but she talks about a woman out of Baltimore who put together an enormous flag in 6 weeks, and this was the flag. She also talks about Francis Scott Key, who, as we know, gave birth to the Star Spangled Banner. And Francis Scott Key was a guy who, she says, if you look through history, if you dig through history, could have actually been the president. He was a lawyer, but he was confused as to what he wanted to do. He was kind of going back and forth. And at one point, he was even part of the British fleet and watched as some bombing was going on in Baltimore. So the story is phenomenal if you haven't heard it. And some of you probably have heard bits and pieces of this, but she's coming up here on America Tonight. We're also going to talk to Maria Luisa Mendoza. We're all excited, or some of us are excited anyway, about World Cup soccer. But what does it mean for the people of Brazil? What does it mean when FIFA comes in and they build these huge stadiums in jungle areas where not that many people are even going to watch the matches? The things that they were promised, the infrastructure and whatnot, never really happened. So there have been protests against FIFA, and she talks about that. She talks about how much money they're getting, the $4 billion and what they ultimately make off of it, and how the people are the ones really left holding the bag, that they're poorly paid and it's so incredibly lopsided. Yet a little different story, because you're only talking about Rio when we talk about the Olympics, the upcoming Olympics in a couple of years, the Summer Games there, the difference of that versus what we're seeing with World Cup. And then Scruples is a name that you might have heard or might be familiar with. Mark Weinstein is the man behind that, and he talks about privacy issues. We talk about that all the time, right? America Tonight, and how ridiculous it is, how easy it is to hack into things, and what do you do to protect your privacy. So he talks about the fact that you've got a situation where you're so open on social media, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, whether it's opening links, whatever it is, and that your best interest is certainly not there. And that's part of the problem, that people just are blindly going down this path. But what can you be a part of? What search engine? Where can you go where you don't have to worry about that? And he's in Silicon Valley, and he talks about the fact that he's kind of, as I joke with him, the black sheep in that crew there, because he's fighting in a different direction instead of the, well, you know, privacy is different now. It's different the way we look at things. And he says, baloney, it's not different the way that we look for things. So in the meantime, as we're sitting here and talking about the 4th of July coming up, and I'm wondering what some of you are going to be doing, most likely, and maybe not. Some people don't like fireworks. Some people just like to see fireworks on the tube. You know, they always have them from New York City, and in Washington, D.C., they have the pops. And so for Independence Day, a lot of times, instead of going out to some crowd or laying on the grass or whatever, people opt to do that. It's kind of interesting. I usually tape it. I tape both of those so I can see them. I love fireworks. Love, love, love fireworks. And we really associate Independence Day with that. We associate that with parades and barbecues and picnics and family reunions. It's such a day of celebration. If you think back to 1776 and breaking away from England and what really went into the American Revolution. That's why I'm so excited about the conversation with Diane Carey and what it was like, the separation in the beginning of the 13 colonies. And imagine being one of those upstarts and one of those people that had to fight against the British fleet, and the fleet was huge. And where would America be? Would there even be an America if certain things hadn't happened? You'd be surprised. One twist here or one twist there, if you remember your days of history or if you've read anything recently, you would know that just how precarious the situation was almost from the outset. So Americans celebrate independence on July 4th, which is the date shown on the Declaration of Independence, rather than July 2nd. That's another thing. The second day of July, that was really, you know, thinking of the great anniversary and the festival and all of that. All of it really happened then, but the resolution of the independence, which was approved in a closed session of Congress, you know, you're talking about July 4th, actually signing the Declaration of Independence. So that's been another thing that people, historians especially, always have a tug of war over. Why isn't it July 2nd, and how come July 4th, and all of that? I think it's too late. We're not going to change it. I have a feeling that that's not going to happen. So, by the way, officially, because Al asked me this, which has the biggest fireworks? Is it Washington? Is it New York? Is it Boston? Is it someplace else? And, you know, in Mississippi, on the Mississippi River, they have them, and San Francisco and the San Francisco Bay Bridge. I mentioned the National Mall in Washington, D.C., or maybe I didn't. I think that's one of the cool places they do it. But as far as I know, in the history, and how you measure this, but in the history of fireworks displays, as I come back around to that, in 2009, New York City had the largest fireworks display in the country. 22 tons of pyrotechnics exploding all over the sky. I don't know, 22 tons, pretty hard to beat. And there was a big deal made about that, and they haven't really eclipsed it that I know of since then. So that record just might stand. So again, whatever you're doing, if you're already on your way to doing it, I hope you have a wonderful Independence Day as we continue here on America Tonight. Hang with us. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. is, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Watching what's going on with the World Cup, but there's another side to this. Maria Luisa Mendoza joins us, and she is a woman who is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, and also a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. And she joins us now to talk about the Brazilian people and the fact that they might be happy about having the World Cup, but they're not thrilled about FIFA, and we wonder why that is. Maria, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you very much.
So why do they hate FIFA?
Well, I think, first of all, FIFA is a private corporation that is not accountable to anyone, only to its big sponsors that are also huge corporations like Coca-Cola and Budweiser and McDonald's. And FIFA imposes certain conditions in the countries to host the event. For instance, the Brazilian National Congress had to change the laws about, for instance, allowing alcoholic beverages in the stadiums. So Budweiser could sell beer that was not allowed before in Brazil. Also, we used to have half price for students to watch the games, and FIFA didn't allow that. So in addition to that, they demand that we build huge stadiums. So hundreds of families were displaced from their homes. And now we have these huge stadiums that some of them would be useful, but others are in the middle of the Amazon, for instance, where the local teams don't draw more than 5,000 people, and now we have this stadiums for 50,000 people, and that was built with public money. So some of, because of those things, people don't like FIFA at all in Brazil, but they still enjoy soccer.
So you think about that, and you think of healthcare, and you think of education, and you think of so many other things that people need, frankly, in Brazil, and then how much money it was, as you said, the public funds to build this. So, I mean, is it kind of a way, will those structures stand there as they end up being, and you and I know this, dilapidated? Will that be just sort of another poke to the people that, hey, we built this, they came, and now, you know, you're still in the same situation?
Exactly. Yeah, that was exactly what was the protest were about. People realized that we still have very poor services in terms of healthcare, education, housing. The homeless movement organized several protests. And so I think there was awakening for many Brazilians to realize that those things were more important than soccer.
Yeah, and we know that some of the kids do play soccer, but still there is that disconnect. And I mentioned this at the top, that you are the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights. So as you see this has to infuriate you. What are some of the things that you do to try to help the people and make others aware of what's really going on?
Well, I think that in addition to providing a few jobs, like construction jobs for the stadiums, which, by the way, were horrible jobs. Many workers died in building this stadium, so there were several worker strikes during that. But in addition to that, I think Brazilians realize that they have to fight for basic rights, for public health, for public education. That's what development means. It's not only, temporary jobs, poorly paid jobs. That would mean that the country is going to get better.
Yeah, FIFA, did they even want to have that conversation? Did they want to try to pump more money to donate more to the people to try to help in that area, or no?
No, not at all. I mean, FIFA is going to make more than $4 billion in profit, and all the stadiums were built with public money. So FIFA didn't invest anything. It's just profiting from it. And FIFA is actually even trying to charge from poor communities who are organizing streets, party on the streets to watch the games, because FIFA has the rights to certain words. For instance, Brazil 2014. You cannot use this word without FIFA going after you and charge you some money for using those words. So, like, again, it's a private corporation and it's not accountable to anybody. So I think that's why many countries now don't want to host those type of events. FIFA had a hard time now finding new venues. And even in Germany, recently there was a headline in a German newspaper saying, thank you, Brazil, because the same problems happened in Germany, in South Africa. So I think it's very important to expose these problems about FIFA and for people all over the world to understand that we need first to have basic rights, and then we think about soccer, we think about other things.
Yeah. What would you say, and I guess we've talked about some of it, what is the biggest struggle for the people in Brazil that we're not seeing on camera so much?
Well, I think a big issue was police repression. You might have seen since last year, we have had huge protests on the streets, people demanding better jobs, better education, healthcare, housing. And when the games, when the World Cup was closer, like just a few weeks before the games started, the police repression became worse and worse. And some activists were arrested. I mean, in theory, they were preventively arrested, even from when they were inside their homes. They were not even protesting. So there was a lot of police repression, and Amnesty International put a campaign recently defending the right for Brazilians to protest because there was such a concern about police repression.
What does this mean for Brazil when you think, Maria, when you look at the Olympics coming in 2016?
Yeah, with the Olympics, the impact will be more in Rio. We are concerned about, again, more poor communities being displaced and just the infrastructure that was promised that is not there. They promised to have better public transportation, more subway stations, and that was not delivered. So I think if there were some infrastructure that would be useful after the games, people would be happy about that. Another problem is the housing bubble, the real estate bubble. Cost of living is very, very high because of the huge events, and that has an effect on people, just, you know, the idea that you cannot live in certain areas of the city anymore because it's too expensive.
As when you look at South America and we see what's happening in Central America with so many people coming to the United States, is there a desire for that as much in among the Brazilian people when they see the conditions that you're describing and think, well, geez, maybe if there's a way I could get to the United States? Is that a prevalent thing?
No, I think that all over the world, what we see is the same, is that a great disparity between the rich and the poor, more income concentration, which is also happening here in the United States. And with the economic crisis that we saw here, people losing their homes, some of the same patterns are happening in Brazil and also in Europe. So I think that is a global economic crisis, and I think we need to have more international solidarity so we fight against the concentration of wealth all over the world.
Well, well said, absolutely. For you, last question, I know that you're in the United States. Do you go back and forth? Do you kind of try to spread the word? What are you doing, Maria?
Yes, I'm here in the U.S. I'm going back to Brazil in a couple of days, and we do a lot of international solidarity work. I work with a human rights organization in Brazil, and I also teach at the University of Rio. And I think the fact that we are exposing this problem internationally is very important. I think it's very important for us to communicate more on these issues, NGOs, civil society, to understand the reality that is happening in other countries so we can have more international solidarity.
Maria Luisa Mendoza, safe travels. Thanks for coming on and shedding some light on America Tonight.
Thank you very much.
Spring time is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com, click the blue microphone in the top right corner, and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Well, it's almost the 4th of July. In fact, I can hear the patriotic music somewhere in the background. She is New York Times best-selling author, published 50 books. Banner is her latest. Diane Carey is in our virtual green room. We're going to talk about the Star Spangled Banner. Hi, Diane. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Hi, how are you? How is everybody?
Excellent. I guarantee in those nooks and crannies, they are thrilled. There is something about the 4th of July. I don't think it's just the food, and I don't just think it's the fireworks. I don't know. I like to think that we kind of get a rush of patriotism. Is 4th of July a big deal to you?
4th of July is a big deal to me. I'm usually doing some event or other with my pipe band, so I'm a bagpiper, and we go around and play all sorts of celebrations and parades and things like that.
Good for you. Is it hard to do the bagpipe thing? I've always wondered.
Yes, it's a pain in the neck. Play the drum.
All right, good advice.
Yes, endless tuning and lots of other pain in the neck things. But we also follow the American flag around an awful lot, which is important to all of us. We're sort of quasi-military, so it's a little bit kind of stuck with us, and it's something that is very important. And I like to think we teach our kids pretty well. And that's one of the reasons I wrote Banners, is I'm quite disturbed by the fact that too many of our citizens and their children don't know what the flag was made for, which war it was, whose bombs were bursting in air, you know, who made the flag. It wasn't Betsy Ross.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting? I grew up just outside of Philadelphia, and boy, that's Betsy Ross country. So tell everybody, who was it that actually made the flag?
Well, the flag was requested by the commanding officer at Fort McHenry just outside of Baltimore there, and he went to a local flag-making lady who did it as a job, And she came from a line of flag makers. Her name was Mary Pickersgill. And she was in a situation that a lot of women found themselves in the past, and that was outliving her husband. So she was a widow trying to survive and running a business and having quite a bit of social activity, too. She was a wonderful, popular lady, a very good-spirited person. And she got this request to make this gigantic flag. And most people don't really realize it's 30 feet by 42 feet. It was as big as her house.
Wow. How, that takes a long time, right? How long does it take to make that kind of a flag?
Well, she got the thing done in 6 weeks.
I mean,
she must have just put everything else aside and been working wall to wall. 350,000 stitches. I mean, we've, you know, some of us still do it, but lots of us have lost the knack of making things by hand, or at least appreciating what it really took to build things by hand. I mean, I live in an 1871 house, and every time I do something in my house, I marvel at the fact that they could build it at all without power tools. You know, you sometimes we forget this stuff, and we really need to at least appreciate it. You don't have to go do it, you know.
Yeah, it's a gentle reminder from Diane. Hey, it's the 200th anniversary of the National Anthem. I'm not sure how many people realize that or not, but even the city of Baltimore has made a big deal about what's happening, calling it the Star-Spangled Summer of 2014. I got a couple of friends that live there, and they say it's really cool. The Smithsonian is doing all kinds of special things, so in the Capitol, in and around, obviously recognizing it, but the significance of the Star-Spangled Banner and Francis Scott Key, the songwriter who penned the song. What can you tell us about Francis Scott Key that we might not know?
Well, you don't know that he could have been president if he just said that he would do it. He was very popular. He was a famous lawyer at the time. He was also very shy and didn't have a lot of self-confidence, despite the fact that he'd argued in front of the Supreme Court and lots of wonderful things. And he was a slaveholder. He was a wealthy young man. His family had come down through generations of their plantation, something you don't hear very often. His slaves absolutely loved him, and they were very proud of him. And he was a pacifist. He was against the war. He disagreed with the war for, you know, moral reasons, because part of the reasons for the war was to go and seize Canada while Britain was distracted with Napoleon. And he really disagreed with that. And then the United States was not being allowed to have freedom of the seas and free trade because of the wars with Napoleon. And that's another thing that they fought for. Francis Scott Key had a kind of a personal crisis during this time. He didn't know whether he should be a lawyer or be a minister or go be a soldier and fight. What was he fighting for? Was it moral? Was it not? Did God approve? Did he not? He was a real soul searcher. And he starts kind of in 1812, he starts thinking, you know, well, who am I? How am I part of all this? What is my destiny? What can I contribute to my nation? And are we a nation, or are we just a collection of states that are loosely linked to each other? Which is really what they were at the time. And by the end of 1814, and the war took from 1812 to 1815, but during the Star-Spangled Banner time when he was writing that, he was down to thinking not who am I, but who are we? Who are Americans, and how do we fit into the world?
Wow. I love that. So he's a deep thinker. I don't know that I've ever read that anywhere about Francis Scott Key.
Sometimes he thought a little bit too deep. He spent a lot of time thinking, and he was kind of hesitant as far as actually acting. And one time he did join the militia. He was absolutely a rotten soldier. And that's the irony. He went back to being a lawyer, and because he was a lawyer, somebody asked him to come and help free another American soldier. And he went and was in the, he was actually in the British fleet at the time, Battle of Baltimore happened. He was standing in the British fleet that was bombing the United States at that time, watching this all go down. It's very important, I think, that we understand what was going on at that time. I mean, Britain was scared. They were afraid. They were fighting Napoleon, and Napoleon was lopping off big chunks of Europe, and it looked like he was going to win. It looked like he was going to come across the English Channel and just take England. And they were afraid. They were standing alone against this tyrant. Ironically, what would happen? A handful of years later, historically speaking, they would be standing alone against Hitler. And it's very interesting, because if the United States had not found a way to prevail in the war that they probably should never have started, there would be no United States, and there would be nobody to go up against Hitler and fight him down and Hirohito in the Pacific. And there's a, it's all linked, it's all connected, and our kids are missing the message. Our children, I don't think, know what's going on when they're singing the Star Spangled Banner at every sports event. They don't know why they're putting their hand on their heart. They don't know why they're looking at the flag. They don't know the history. They don't care. And it's something that you and I have to change. And that's why I wrote this book. I mean, I've written 53 books. I've been on the New York Times list multiple times. I don't really have to write another book. But I felt driven to write this one because Americans don't know, and we should know.
Yeah, well said. I agree with you. Absolutely. There's another story mixed in there about, you know, you're talking about 1812 and through 1815 about Captain Thomas Boyle. And I don't know that many people know about Boyle and what he was like and what he did, because he was a he led the war at sea, right?
He was the most famous privateer at that time, and he was very gutsy. They all were. They were private sailors and sailing captains who took their ships, and they went out to fight a war instead of delivering cargo, which is what their real job was. It would be as if all of a sudden the United States went to war, and all our truckers went out and fought the war with their trucks. It was an amazing thing to happen, but the United States, President Madison, was goaded into declaring war on a country with 900 warships, and we had 17.
Wow.
So they gave letters of marque to captains like Captain Tom Boyle and ships and sent them out to harass enemy shipping and just make as much of a nuisance as they could and to steal the stuff that was aboard the ships and to confiscate the ships themselves. And it worked really well, because this is a big part of what gave America our reputation for being impetuous and gutsy and risk-taking and self-reliant. And we have that reputation in the world. Everybody shakes their heads and says, oh, those Americans. Well, that's why, because we step out. We take charge of things. We find answers. We're solution and goal-oriented. And this is the kind of person who Captain Boyle, I would say, would be, you know, he's the George Washington of his time. He gave us this reputation that we have for just being as gutsy as possible. And it was because of that that the British declared that they were going to come and destroy the fort, destroy the port of Baltimore there at Fells Point, where a lot of these privateer ships were being built. And they couldn't get in through Fort McHenry, and that's when they rolled out the big flag, and Francis Scott Key saw it. So all of these things are linked, and Major Armistead at the fort and Francis Scott Key and Mary Pickersgill were all within 5 miles of each other at that time. I am pretty sure they knew each other. Baltimore was a small but booming port, and these important people socialized with each other.
Yeah, and you can imagine if you could be a fly on the wall what those conversations were like, huh?
Oh, that's what I did.
Oh,
that's exactly
great.
What I did. I wrote it that way. You know, reading history can be very dry and confusing. So
yeah.
I put it together in a novel, The Chesapeake War. And I wrote it so that anybody can read it. It's rated G. It's good for parents and kids and anybody, everybody. You'll understand the war when you're done, which I didn't even understand when I was beginning. It took a lot of piecing things together to get it right. But having these people talk, and you can hear them, they speak to each other, they argue, they question, and they don't know what's going to happen next. We know it as history, but to them, they're just afraid. They don't know what steps to take. They don't know what's going to happen next. They don't know who's going to come where. Where is the enemy going to come ashore? What are they going to do when they get there? Well, one thing the British did in response to something that the United States did in Canada, burning of York, which would later become Toronto, the British came in and they burned Washington. And I mean, they burned Washington. And it was shocking and depressing. And then they turned and they looked at Baltimore. And Baltimore knew they were coming. And that's how all of this happened. They were attacking a major port. Washington was just a little political center at the time, kind of a swampy mess. But Baltimore was the third largest city in the United States at the time, and it was very, very important. It would be like having the enemy come in and attack New York Harbor. It just really a crippling thing. So Francis Scott Key and everybody else was there, and they were watching this all happen. They didn't know how it was going to turn out until the morning of the 14th, when the fort came out of the slashing thunderstorm that had been there the night before. And the clouds parted and the sun shined, and they rolled out the big flag.
there was enough breeze that the English bunting of the flag was pouring out over across the fort, and Francis Scott Key saw it, and so did the British, and so did everybody, because remember, I told you, it was 42 feet long.
Right. Well said. I love the history lesson. Diane Carey, as she said, pick it up, learn the lessons that we don't know in between. Thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Take a ride to Silicon Valley. Mark Weinstein is joining us now. He's the CEO and founder of a company called Scrubbles, if I'm saying Scrubbles. That right. Scrubbles. And the way it's spelled, I was thinking, what is this, Scandal Scrubbles? Anyway, it's a very cool company. As I dug a little deeper on it, it's all about social networks being safe. Right? Because you think about that. We've had problems with that. People attaching things to whatever it is that you're messing around with. And all the sharing and the links and everything else in between. I've been burned a couple of times on that. And I know some people have written me notes about that too. So Mark is considered to be a true visionary. And as I said, he's in Silicon Valley, probably nothing like what we've been watching on the tube and that show. But Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
It's great. Great to be here, Kate. And, you know, privacy is really the most important topic of our times when it comes to our democracy and, you know, who's spying on us and what kind of information are they getting and why is this important?
Yeah, so tell us, in what was the impetus for starting this for you? I mean, obviously, privacy was one of the things for you, but what was it that steered you in this direction with social media?
Well, let me tell everybody, it's Scruples, scrouples.com, and it's a play on the word scruples, the English word, to do the right thing, to have integrity. And imagine the internet with integrity. Imagine, you know, using a social network that wasn't a Snapchat. You know, Snapchat pictures don't disappear. They lied to us on purpose. They can make money. Facebook, we're not the customer. We're the product. All they care about is how much data, and that's why now they're listening to our microphones. Google reads our Gmail. How about a different kind of social media company, one that actually was for us, that treated us like customers and members and not the product? So, and I'm one of the founders of social media. So I built one of the first social media companies in the world when we were all really young back in 1998, and we were a PC Magazine Top 100 company 3 years in a row. And this is before MySpace. There was a whole group of us then. And I came back when Mark Zuckerberg said privacy is a social norm of the past. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is the United States of America. Privacy is our right.
Yeah. So, well, you pretty much in a nutshell, you described what I think. Absolutely. The idea of where you can really get burned. What are some tips you can share for being careful about yourself, your identity online?
Well, you know, everybody, first of all, it's time for us to do what we can do in capitalism, democracy, vote by taking the right action. So instead of using Google, now the Wall Street Journal wrote a great article. What does Google know about me? A reporter found out. Google knows all this 134,000 Gmails and everything in them, all the 9,000 YouTubes he's ever watched, all the 64,000 searches he's ever done, all of his passwords, all of his documents, all of his contacts. That's too much. So you might want to use DuckDuckGo.com as a search engine, because they're not spying on you, so they don't have this packet of information. And you might think, well, why does that matter? Maybe it doesn't matter today, but it might matter tomorrow or 10 years from now or 15 years from now or a day from now when somebody gets access to that data that shouldn't have it. So, and then you might want to consider using Scruples for social media, because I love social media. I'm one of the founders of it. It's fun to share photos and videos and documents, to share, like, the party I went to last night with the people who are at the party, but not the whole world, and not with these companies that are going to market and give me creepy ads and sell my information. So go to Scruples, scrouples.com. And then, Kate, there's things to do about passwords. Differentiate your passwords. Don't link accounts. Don't use your Facebook credentials to create accounts somewhere else. And you might want to think about bringing your own wireless internet with you, because when you're at Starbucks or when you're at the airport and you're using their free wireless systems, hackers can actually see what passwords you're doing. Hackers are very sophisticated. They can steal your accounts. So be careful.
Yeah, and of course, you know this, Mark, and one of the dangers is that as they dig into your information, social security numbers, things that you just don't realize, people are lax about putting in emails, especially, you said it, the emails can really burn you, can't they?
They can, and, you know, look, if you put your social security number into a Gmail, I guarantee you Gmail is storing that somewhere, and, you know, if they get hacked, and now Gmail, Google's talking about, oh, we're going to encrypt our Gmail, and I'm like, oh, guys, are you kidding me? Is that the kettle calling the pot black? So you're going to encrypt my Gmail so nobody can hack into it except for you, who are spying and aggregating and storing all this data on me. So, you know, be smart. Be smart about these companies that are pretending to be privacy-centric when they're not. And be smart about what you post online. At Scruples, we don't spy on you. You own your content. We have no tracking cookies. Delete your account anytime. No facial recognition. We don't look at your contact list. This is like real life. It's the way it should be.
So, Mark, you know, then what people say is, or what Zuckerberg would say, they would talk about, well, what about financially? How do you make money on this? How do you, as a pioneer, how do you and your company make money?
Kate, isn't that like the best question? I love that question. And listen, it is, right? Because here's what's happened. We've been brainwashed by Zuckerberg and Eric Schmidt, Mr. Schmidt, you know, over at Google, to think that they have to spy on us to make money. Now, that's absurd. If capitalism worked that way, capitalism would have failed as an economic system when it was first invented. It's not how capitalism works. It works by providing people with value that they might actually be, their lives might be enhanced. When you go to a restaurant, when you go to a store, they're not spying on us, but they have the products in the store that make us want to do business with them. Same thing as scruples. If you want to store your documents, we can store up to 500 gigabytes for you. If you want special apps like a recipe book app for your family group or something besides our great standard features, we'll have great apps, even disappearing photos and documents. So we'll have an advertising model that doesn't spy on you at all. So it's very simple. You don't need to spy on people to serve them an ad. That's crazy. So we're resetting the bar to normal.
So in Silicon Valley, are you like the black sheep?
Yes, I sure am. It's funny, our investors come from like everywhere but Silicon Valley. You know, I'm in Mountain View, right where Google and Facebook and LinkedIn are. And, you know, absolutely, because this is the land of please don't rock the boat. We love spying on people. And I'm here saying this is wrong. There's a better way to do it. It's time to bring respect and trust and integrity back to this industry.
All right. And you're known, I mean, obviously you're known as a big advocate for this. People have probably read you on USA Today. You've done a lot blogging wise there and the Huffington Post. I've seen some of your stuff on the Huffington Post. And also you're involved with the White House. What's your role in one of their initiatives there? What do you do for that?
So the White House created, and this committee is no longer active. The White House created, and I was a steering committee member for the National Strategy for trusted identities in cyberspace, so that people could be, you know, we could figure out ways that people's information could be private and they could transact, you know, do commerce. You could use your credit card and have it be safe. And we would, you know, we'd be able to do identity validation so that when I use my credit card online, the vendor would know it was me, not someone who stole my credit card. So the White House funded this initiative, and there are a few companies developing a new product both to protect our anonymity and at the same time to make sure that no stranger is using my credit card and being able to get away with it. So we're working on that because, you know, fraud is so big. And what I tell people is, look, pick one credit card to use online and then register it at PayPal or a site like that so that you're not actually typing in the numbers and you have that extra firewall, and just use PayPal anywhere you need to pay for something.
Yeah, there you go. Great advice. Hey, I got to tell you, I was checking out your advisory board. So Jack Canfield is one of the members, you know, the whole chicken soup thing for the soul. He's got it. Boy, he's a good guy. I've met him a couple times. Does he give you some good advice?
Oh, Jack is great because, you know, for our listeners, Jack, you know, is the chicken soup for the soul, the success principles. Jack is one of the most widely read authors of all time and also has got 100 other authors that have written for him, The Chicken Soup for the Soul. Jack is the world's number one success coach, and Jack, I love Jack. Jack is a wonderful human being with a great sense of humor, and he always coaches me on the secret to success, which is don't stop. Keep going. It's just like the art of winning a war. You've got to take action. Don't sit around and over-strategize. Take action, take action, take action. And for our readers, too, I've written a book series called Habitually Great, which is really about how to achieve our personal greatness.
Yeah, do you find that sometimes it's just that first step, it's those small changes that people can't get off the dime?
You know, just watch out for being a perfectionist, right? Because we try and do everything right, and then we wait too long to take action. The best way to learn is to take action. The best way to learn how to play tennis is to get on the court and take a lesson, not to think about it.
Mark, what a delight to have you on the show. We'll tell everyone to check out scruples.com. I love it. The play on word is great. The play on that is terrific. Thanks, Mark, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Kate. People can reach me too, Mark, M-A-R-K, at scruples.com. Thank you, everybody.
Whoa! This is big! Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.